Cleaning Nation. It is time. Time to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and to get everything you need to grow your cleaning company. As you know, at the beginning, I always tell you, if you love the show, if you want us to keep cranking out all the good stuff, hook us up with some amazing, positive 5-star reviews on iTunes. Feel free to share us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, YouTube. Join the free Facebook group. There's all sorts of ways to get involved and be a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Enid Tate from Enid's Cleaning Service. Enid's has been providing service for four different counties in Indiana with residential and commercial cleaning for more than 25 years. If you'd like to reach out to Enid and her team, you get a hold of them at www.enidscleaningservice.com. Enid, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got to be totally square with you. I think the record for the show is like 48 years in the cleaning business. But that said, 25 is a long haul. How did you get in the business, and what's kept you around all these years?
Well, I kind of stepped into the business out of necessity because I had become a single mother of two through divorce and was working a full-time job. And my ex-husband kind of reneged on his half of the marital debt, and I was faced with having to pay everything and take care of the kids. So I stepped into house cleaning as a side job, and everything just kind of blossomed from there. So within a year, I was full-time house cleaning, and I've never looked back.
Well, gosh, if it's been 25 years, I'm guessing the kids are gone. It sounds like the husband's gone, but the cleaning business is the only thing that's stuck around.
I'm still single. Kids are grown. They have families of their own, and the cleaning business is still my baby.
Good to hear that. You are an absolute trooper. Glad to have you as part of Cleaning Nation, Enid. So, gosh, I really appreciate it. You know, before I start yammering and coaching, if you've been in the business 25 years, you've probably forgotten a lot more about the cleaning business than some of us out here know. Any pearls of wisdom you'd like to start with before we move to the coaching piece?
Oh, I think probably the biggest one that I try to instill in my employees is don't take it so personal.
Okay, what do you mean? Don't take what so personal?
Well, if you have client complaints, don't take it home with you. Take it to heart, I mean, as far as making sure that the problem is fixed, but it's not a personal attack if they're complaining to you. Even if you're the one that did the job, it's not a personal attack. They have their idea of the way things should be, so it's just a matter of conformity to make the client happy. And, just be a little more lighthearted about it. It's a job. Take it seriously, but don't take it so seriously that it ruins your night's sleep.
Man, I got to say, not just for employees, but I think that's probably good advice for Cleaning Nation. A lot of times we get these customers that just treat us poorly or get upset over things that, you know, certainly we need to fix and need to be attended to. But like you said, it's not the end of the world. No, we're not brain surgeons here. No one's going to live or die based on how well we do. So I think that's great feedback. You need to usually share that to the end, but that was worth doing at the beginning, sister. All right, cool. Well, since you've given, we've been here 3.5 minutes, and you've already given some fantastic value. Let's turn the tables and see if I can bring some value to you, my friend. What's going on in your world that I can help you with?
Well, I'm faced at this point in my career, in my business, of trying to figure out a way to pay my people better and to hold them more accountable for not only the work that they do, but for abiding by the company rules. So I've been tossing around the idea of percentage-based pay with maybe four different percentage categories, let's say 30%, 35%, 40%, and 45%. And where they fall on that pay scale depends on how well they're abiding by the rules, how well they're keeping their customers satisfied, attendance, or whatever else the issues might be.
Okay, cool. I'd love that. Go ahead. Sounds like you had more.
Yeah, I also like the idea because in the wintertime, business falls off and it's harder to predict how much money we as the company are going to make and also for the employees. So it makes it more predictable on a financial realm for the company and also for the employees. It's going to give them more peace of mind knowing how much that paycheck is going to be each week.
Okay, cool. So big fat disclaimer, when I had my cleaning company, we only did commercial and I always paid by the hour. But I've had other companies, construction, my car dealership, where some employees were paid by piece or by job or by the work that we did. So I've definitely had dozens, if not hundreds, of employees in both categories. But on the cleaning side, I've only used the hourly rate. That said, of the people I coach, I'd say it's probably 80-20 heavy to the hourly, 20% doing the flat rate. So just want to lay that foundation, kind of what the landscape is from my perspective of, you know, dealing with hundreds of cleaners, owners of cleaning companies a year and helping them grow their business. That's kind of where we're at. That is definitely one of the things where I don't have a strong coaching in terms of, there are certain things I just say, this is the right way to do it, right? Niching, understanding your customer's pain and communicating that. What we're talking about does not fall under that. And I'm just giving you a preface and then we'll answer your question, Enid. This doesn't fall under that. Like, the right answer is, I don't have that. I can absolutely support both pay models. And I wanted to spend just a minute or two kind of going over the benefits and disbenefits of each, not to try and sway anyone, just to kind of lay a good foundation that we can build on. What were you going to say, Enid?
I was going to interject that I actually kind of use both pay scales right now because my commercial people, my commercial employees, they do make a percentage, or we call it a flat rate pay. So they get paid a certain amount for each job that they do, and they always know what that amount's going to be.
Okay, so you've already...
My day shift people, cleaning houses, are making it by the hour.
Okay, so you've already implemented this in part of your company, and you're just looking to extend it to the rest.
Yes, and the buy-in from the day shift employees too, convincing them that this is a good thing to do.
Okay. And give me your experience, and this is kind of more just one-on-one coaching in front of a couple thousand people, but give me your experience with making that transition, or with, did you transition to that on the commercial side first, or is that just always how it's been?
That's the way it's always been with the commercial.
Okay. And it sounds like you're having a good experience with that, or you wouldn't try to implement that company-wide.
Yeah. The only downfall to it on the commercial side is my people will tend to want to pick and choose which jobs they want to do by taking the higher paying jobs for what they deem to be the higher paying jobs versus the ones that don't pay as much. So they want to pick and choose what job they want to do.
Okay. And I will say, I do like kind of a flat pay for cleaners being consistent. So if I were in your shoes, I would switch the commercial side to hourly, or the residential side to flat rate or piece rate, or however you want to describe it. But I don't like kind of those two parallel payroll systems. So
right.
For whatever that's worth. All right. That said, let's talk about making that transition, how to do it right, what to be aware of. So the big, fat, easy, beautiful way, which as a coach I love on the flat side, is just like you said, you can nail your cost of goods sold nearly to the percentage. You can just say, well, my cost of goods sold is always 45% or 50 or 55 or whatever, whatever
exactly.
You got, which is lovely. So it's only one. I don't want it to be like, well, there's three on the good side and two on the bad side. This one's a big one. This counts for like four. The ability to nail your cost of goods sold like that is fantastic. Just fantastic. So that's the big good side. The downsides are, and I wouldn't even say downsides, but things that you'd want to consider and kind of know going into this is, first and foremost, employees can feel like, and sometimes quite frankly, can be the reality, some jobs are quote unquote good jobs where they get paid well and the work's not hard, and other jobs are quote unquote bad jobs where it's like, man, this takes a lot more work and I don't get, you know, we're not perfect as bidders, and jobs change and customers change. So
exactly.
The employees have got to be aware of, or not, they don't have to be, but they'll soon become aware of, there's good jobs and bad jobs, and they have to be okay with that. And you have to make sure that that's, you're able to overcome that. We'll talk about how to do that, but that's a reality you want to understand is going to happen before you make the switch. Second, this kind of stands to reason, but it's important enough, I want to make sure we bring it up. There's the quality issue, right? If they're getting paid by the hour, they'll stay how they're going to stay. And when you move to flat rate, the typical human response is, well, if I get paid $100, whether I do this an hour and a half or 3 hours, by golly, this is going to happen an hour and a half, which is fine if the result is the result that you promised your customer when they start cutting corners and not providing that result. Now we've got an issue. And that's human nature. This isn't bad employees or good employees. That's just humans. If any of us listening said, hey, you get the same amount of money, no matter how you do the job, you're going to kind of go for the quickest, fastest, hopefully most efficient way to actually do the job, which is good, right? It can lower your overall payroll, because some of that's good. Like, well, before I was kind of sloppy and slow and I wasn't efficient and I was doing 3 hours of work in 3.5 hours, and now I'm going to get it done in three. That's the good piece. The bad piece gets to be, well, I'm going to cut this corner, that corner, and the other corner. And that's obviously where we're running into trouble. So any thoughts, questions, or input on kind of the landscape and the foundation before we start moving tactical, Enid?
Nope, I think you've got it understood, and you sound like you've repeated it pretty well.
Cool. Yeah, I've done this a couple times, my friend. All right, so let's move on. Here's what that could look like. One thing I am not a fan of is the a complex pay system. The simpler, the better. So I don't know that I would, I certainly wouldn't encourage, I mean, you had a huge range from like 30 to 50 or just some massive range of pay. I certainly would make it into like two or three categories at the most. And more likely than that, I'd probably make it one flat rate for everybody. That doesn't mean we're not going to track and have consequences, positive and negative, for those other things in terms of quality control and attendance and all these other things. But I don't know that I would do that with, I would do that with hourly, right? I do. So let me build another foundation. The things that I generally want you or coach my folks to do, kind of judge their employees on, so to speak, are time and attendance, which is showing up late, not calling in at the last minute, or showing up at time, not calling in the last minute. Quality of work, which goes both ways. They get positive points, obviously, for customers that call or email or say, hey, I just want to let you know, Ina did a great job. We love her. Mike did a terrible job. He sucks. Whatever the case may be. That's the second one. Third is time. When on hourly, I want to make sure, like, hey, you're within the times that I send you, and I do everything red, yellow, green, not just with this, but I run my whole businesses with that. Green means you did a good job. We love it. You're open for all the bonuses. Yellow means you're below standard. You're not doing what you should be, but you're not going to get fired. Red means you have to either move to yellow or we have to part ways. So the things that I'm going to start, so Enid mentioned the things I want to pay for: time and attendance, customer satisfaction, both, you know, good and bad feedback, how long it takes them to do the job. And then the last one I use is core value match, right? I'm a big fan of having my core values, attracting people that are attracted to those core values. And if they're not living out those core values, it's going to be hard for me to promote them. And if they're really strongly living out those core values, I'm going to be more inclined to give them more money and or promote them. So those are the criteria that we talked about, because you said you want to give them higher bracket, so to speak, based on the criteria. Those are the criteria that I would recommend that you use to judge what their pay is, but where they're at. The way I'd look at it is I would just pick a rate, 40, you know, again, it's going to be different for commercial and residential, right? Your commercial might be a little, you might pay a little more as a percentage, and residential maybe a little less, certainly if you're doing larger commercial jobs. And then I would take the extra, right? Say you were between 35 and 50, let's just say you call it 40%, right? I might take 2 or 3% and make a bonus pool that I spent every month for people that qualified. So instead of constantly trying to move people from this pay rate or bracket to that pay rate or bracket, and then you move them up, but then they don't do it. It's like, well, now do I have to go have an uncomfortable conversation about moving them back down again? That's a lot of management on your part and a lot of opportunity for them to be upset with you, you to be upset with them, and neither of you working on what you should be working on in terms of growing your company. But if you had a pool of $1,000 or $500, or obviously I shouldn't even give a dollar amount, some percentage, 1 or 2% of your, maybe 1% or 1.5% of your total budget that you said, hey, this is going to go into employee development. And every month we're going to have a new deal. And, you know, maybe you could get raffle tickets every time, you know, for everyone that shows up every day on time with no call-in, it gets 20 raffle tickets. Or maybe if you show up late or miss one, you're out of the raffle for this month. And there could be anything as little as, you know, everybody that qualifies gets a $20 gift certificate to Starbucks or a movie theater, whatever you like, as much too. We're going to take the whole $800 and one person is going to get it. Or the number one person that gets the most raffle tickets gets the $400, and below that gets 200, and below that's 100, and the next two get 50. You could do a wheel where they spin. But long story short, instead of constantly trying to manage and put people in different pay brackets and kind of create all sorts of potential animosity, I would just have a flat pay bracket and then give them benefits when they do good stuff and make it fun and creative, right? You don't want to have the same thing every month, because then they start seeing it as part of their pay package as opposed to a bonus. But if every month you've got a new kind of promotion going on, they always are like, A, it's fun. B, you know, if it's, you know, the Super Bowl, you can do like, well, this month's is a 52-inch flat screen TV, you know, that we all get to watch this, and we're all going to watch a Super Bowl and have a party at the thing. And then whoever wins is going to take the TV home with them. Like, you can be creative and make it kind of get more value than just the $800 you might spend on a TV out of creating an event. Any thoughts so far, Enid?
I like the idea. It creates some excitement for the people.
Yeah, it takes a little extra work, but it really gets them excited. And then you can kind of, you can really fine tune what you want. So maybe this month they're doing a great job. Customers are all happy. Nobody's complaining. But the tardiness is a bear. You could just say, okay, this month it's all about tardiness. And that's kind of what you focus this month's benefit on. And maybe next month, everybody's showing up on time. Everyone's getting along. But the customers are complaining. The month after that, customers are happy and the people are showing up on time, but people aren't getting along. They're not following your core values and they're not being good teammates. You can kind of really fine tune what you want month by month in terms of what you want to focus on. It gives you a lot of flexibility.
Okay.
Cool. All right. That's awesome. All the feedback I've got on that, or at least in the time that we've got now. Any questions you've got for me on the topic of flat pay before we hit the lightning round and give you the opportunity to give back?
No, I think you've given me some great ideas that are totally different than what I had focused on, and that's exactly what I was looking for. So I'll run those through my head a little bit more and see what I come up with. Thank you.
We're going to put that down in the wind column, Enid. Thank you. Thank you for the thoughts.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, cool. Enough of me blabbering on like a maniac. Let's give you the opportunity to share some of your 25 years of experience in the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing yet quick answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personally or professionally?
I would say what I said at the beginning of the show, don't take it personal.
Love it.
Do the best job that you can do. And you know, you just know that you can't please everybody all of the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a great way. That's a great strategy for insanity, is try to please everybody one time. Mm-hmm. That's nutballs. Mm-hmm. Okay, question number two. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? Maybe you could save some of us the heartache that you went through.
Doing my own taxes.
Oh no.
Don't go there.
And if I could be so rude, I'm going to expand that to say payroll. Some people, every now and again, a Yahoo, it's like, oh, we do our own payroll in house. I'm like, no, stop it. Pay an accountant to file your taxes and pay a payroll company to do your payroll. Please, please, please. You know, if you want to cut your own grass, God bless you. But if you want to do your own taxes, you're going to need God to bless you because you're going to have trouble.
So what you pay the accountant for less than what you're going to pay the government if you get audited.
Oh, good Lord. There's no question. Yes. 1,000 mm-hmm. times. Yes. All right. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something they can implement immediately to improve their lives and or their businesses?
Customer service.
Okay, what do you mean?
If customer service is not intact, if you aren't there to do your best to please a client, no, it doesn't mean that every client has to be pleased on their terms, but you do your best to make sure your client's needs are met, you're good to go.
Gosh, that sounds like an answer from a lady who's been in the business a long time and learned a lot of stuff. Well
yes.
said, Enid. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Enid's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you know it's all growmycleaningcompany.com. Feel free to leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.